Shalom, brethren. A very good morning to you all. By the grace of God, we come again back to the Word of God as we read the scripture this morning, this side of the world. And I'm your brother, James Feremu, sharing with you this morning the Word of God for our edification. Can we just bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come again this morning before the throne of mercy. I want to thank you, Lord of glory, for the grace which you bestowed upon us. And Lord God, we commit ourselves now into your hand, even as we read your word. May you bless it, Lord, and may you bless a few comments that, Father God, I will speak to your people. But Father, may the reading of your word and the revelation of it be the main focus, and that which can bring us into that reality of who you are and what you are given to us. We commit this day, Lord, into your hands. May you bless us even as we go about our daily chores. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We just want to read from the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 18, we'll read verse 6. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren, the Levites, do, which stand there before the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Why I've read from this scripture, and we just want to maybe have a backdrop of what we have gone through concerning the mind. We saw that God in Abraham, when he appeared to him in the form of Melchizedek, it was to show forth a continuity of a service to God. Because Abraham was there on a mission which was not to be paid by or rewarded by man, for he refused to get anything from the kings that had offered him all the treasure. But he said he had lifted up his hand to God. So he was doing this for the purpose of delivering his brother, not for gain, but for the glory of the Lord. So it was on his mind that he would not take anything, because he said he had sworn to God that he would not take anything or any reward from men. And in that state of service, in that state of mind, Abraham went forth to do a service which was solely for God's glory. And because of that, also God appeared to him in that form of priesthood as Melchizedek. And he offered him that bread and wine, which we see later on as even the covenant of the New Testament in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see the mind that was upon Abraham. He was serving the Lord with a set mind, with a mind that was desiring, that was set on serving God. And now here we see, as the scripture says, Levi was in Abraham, in the loins of Abraham, when Abraham did this. It was imparted then on Levi to serve the Lord. And he was not to be even rewarded by man for all the tithes which were to be given into the house of God belonged to God. When the people were giving tithes, they were not giving the tithe to Levi, but it was to God. And then God gave that tithe to Levi as a service, as a reward for his service in the house of God, as he also did with Abraham. He gave to Abraham the wine and the bread because of what he had done. It was God who did it. So now here we see in the book of Deuteronomy, God is instructing the people that if a Levite come from any of the gates of all Israel, we know Levites could be in different cities. And then when he comes, when the Levite comes with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, which was the place where the temple will be built. So here the emphasis is, he will come with all the desire of his mind. It is set upon his mind to desire to serve the Lord. It was not just a duty. Yes, he was born a Levite. He was born separated unto God for service. But he could do this service maybe just as a formality. He could do it maybe as a duty. But here it is stressed that there must be in the Levite a mind which is set with the desire to serve the Lord. So the Lord is not just saved by just because we have just maybe come to a place where he should be worshipped, or maybe there's something that has to be done. But there is a set desire, there's a mind behind. There's something that is put, or that is stuck, that stays on the mind of the one who serves God to do it even according to this law of God, which is the word of God and the desire of God. I think Jesus puts it a bit clearer in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 37 and 38. Somebody asked him in verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." So you see, when we serve the Lord, it is with all the heart, and with all the soul, and with all the mind. So as we have seen before, the mind is the gateway to the soul, to the heart, where the soul abides. So when we serve the Lord and when we love the Lord, it is with our mind, which means the mind cannot love the Lord when it is corrupted, when it is cankered with the filth of this world. We cannot just abruptly come and say, now we want to serve God, we want to worship God, or we want to pray to God, with a backdrop, with a background of a mind which is corrupt, which is not sincere, which is not committed to the purpose or to the thing that we want to do, which is to worship or to serve God. So here we see that is the greatest commandment, that with all the mind, which means the mind is not divided, the mind is not set upon other things, but the mind is set to love God to serve God, and whatever comes after, it must fall in line with our service to God. And whatever we do in this body or we do in our soul, it is to complement, it is to show forth our service to God. That's why we do whatever we do. Paul says, husbands, love your wives as also the Lord loved the church. And also wives should be submissive to their husbands as the church is submissive to Christ. So you can see even in natural marriage, it's still pointing to our attachment to God. Whatever we are doing in marriage, it is showing forth the true marriage between the church and Christ. So you see, we don't do it like Paul then says in the book of Thessalonians, that it should not be by fleshly lust. It should not be by just a fleshly desire. But though we do this in the body, but our mind is set to the glory of God. That's why even when Ruth came out of Moab, she had set her mind to serve the Lord, that the God of Israel would be her God. And when she came, whatever she was doing, even Boaz testified that she did not go even after the young men of the city, whether poor or rich, whether handsome or charming. She never did that because she had come with a set mind to serve the Lord. And because of that, she was receptive to all the instructions that was given here by Naomi, how she should handle herself, how she should dress herself, how she should approach even Boaz at the threshing floor. Because her mind was not put on other things. So is it when we serve the Lord, it is that our mind, we love the Lord, we submit to the Lord, we revere the Lord from the mind. It is not just something that is in the flesh or in the body or outside of our real self, which is the mind, the gateway to the soul, wherein the faith of God abides. So the Lord here said, this is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest desire. This is the greatest thing that the Lord desires of his people, that they should serve God, not outside the committed mind. As Paul says, it is the soundness of the mind by which we come and serve the Lord. So this is what the mind is concerning our relationship with God in service. The book of Ezekiel, in verse 5, Ezekiel chapter 11, we'll read verse 5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus says the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. So the Lord is showing his prophet Ezekiel the wrong that Israel was doing. He says, house of Israel, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. So here's a people who were separated for God, who were separated to worship God. Whatever they were doing, you know, the people of Israel, the way they dressed, the way they ate, the way they behaved, the way they married, the way they brought up their children, whatever, it was a nation, it was a people that was separated unto God. And by virtue of that, they were serving God. And we know also the Bible tells us in the book of Peter that we are a people who were not even a people before, but now we are the people of God. We were in darkness, but now God has brought us into light. We are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation, a people separated unto God, that we should worship and serve God. A people who are even the temple of God, wherein God dwells and wherein God is worshipped. When you look in the book of Revelation, it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down, adorned as a husband, as a bride for her husband. And when John saw the city coming down, he said there was no light in that city. Why? Because the Lamb is the light of the city, which means there was an indwelling presence of God in that city. There was a continuation of the life and the light of the Lamb in that city. Now, that is the church wherein God dwells to show forth his light. So, here it says now, you people of Israel, I know what is on your mind. They had not changed their name. They were still Israel. They still had their priests. They still had their Levites. They still had everything that pertained to God. But here God is stressing on the point or on the matter that I know what is in your mind. You may be dressing like people of God. You may be walking like people of God. You may be worshiping like people of God. But there's something that is on the mind that is not relevant, that is not in accordance with the purpose of God in the people of Israel. So here we are as the church of the living God. We are a people that are separated unto God. We are a people that live to the glory of God, as he predestined us unto that adoption, even unto the praises of his glory in the church. And also it says he has his inheritance in the saints. So God is rebuking Israel for having a mind that is not set on the things and the purpose of God. And God says, even if you walk in the temple, you do all your servitudes, you do everything that the law says you should do, but my eyes are set upon your mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, when you love the Lord, when you serve the Lord, you must love him with all your mind. And he says also in the book of Matthew, I think chapter 6, he says, you cannot have two masters. It's either you love one and you will hate the other. David, when he came into the temple, in the cave there in Adorami, he says, Lord, unite my heart. I must not have two minds. I must not have my eyes or the eyes of my mind upon other things. So unite my heart. That's how, brothers and sisters, we serve the Lord. It is not with a divided mind, but with oneness of mind in each and every individual. So if there is a oneness in me and a oneness in my brother and my sister, and when we come together, we are coming there in the oneness of the heart and the mind, and then we serve God not with the divided opinions. That's why Paul even admonishes the church in Corinth that you must be of one mind. You must speak one thing. Our desire and our everything must be based upon a mind that is committed to God, which loves the Lord. You don't entertain things that are not right in your mind if you love the Lord from your mind. Can you see? As much as you cannot do harm to your brother if you love him, you cannot do harm to your wife or your husband when you love them. So it is that mind. If it is not set totally and given and surrendered to God, there's a possibility that you can do other things, that you can harbor wrong thoughts, you can harbor wrong intentions, you can harbor wrong interpretations of situations because your mind is not set right. Maybe, for example, we look at Joseph. You know, Joseph was of a sober mind. When he saw the wrong, so to speak, in Mary, when he saw that she was with child, you know, him being a just man, the Bible says, he was just. He was committed. Whatever he wanted to do was to do it for the glory and the purpose of God. He never wanted to make her a public example. He never wanted to blow up the thing. But he intended that when he puts her away because of what she had done, it would be in a way that would be soothing, that would be helpful, that would be encouraging, even to marry to marry herself. She was not just going to be kicked out like that. So it is the state of mind that brings us into doing things the right way. In the Old Testament, we have Abimelech. When he took Sarah, it was not just a lustful approach. Abraham said, Sarah is his sister, and Sarah said, Abraham is her brother. And when God approached him, he says, you are just as good as a dead man. He says, Lord, but what I did it with the integrity of my heart. It was with a clear mind. It was with a mind that was not bent to do the wrong things. It was with a mind that was respectful to the principles of God. And then God says, because of that, I did not allow you to sin. If our mind is unadulteratedly given to God, if our mind is sober, if our mind is committed to serving God, God has a way to deal with us and lead us and help us and protect us from the evil things that are on this world. Because when we go back to Genesis 6, it was the mindset. It was the mind of the people that made them to indulge in all those things, because the minds were corrupted. The minds were evil. But when we serve God, we serve him with an upright mind. So Israel here, he had deviated from the word of God. And God says, I know the things that come into your mind. I know what is occupying your mind. You have come to worship, you have come to serve God, but your mind is preoccupied with other things that are not according to the word of God. If that's this, the way, or if that's the way we come to God and we worship God, it is not acceptable, because God looks on the mind. And the Bible says we must love the Lord with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our soul, and all our spirit. It is in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, where we may get the conclusion of the matter. In verse 20, it says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We know that when we spoke of the transformation, it is a metamorphosis. The transformation is a gradual, steady, an adulterated way of change into that which is perfect and the will of God. So here we see that we have learned, like the Bible says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So the truth is in Jesus, and we have learned. Learning is a process. We have been brought into that learning process whereby our mind is renewed. As Paul says, we die daily. We die to the things of the world. We die to the passions of the flesh. We die to the corrupt mind, so that we can be made into that which is acceptable before God. And now we have been taught of him, because the truth is in Jesus Christ. As the prophet taught us, the truth is not just the opposite of lie, but the truth is the realization, the positivity of the negative. When we are brought into the reality of what is being pointed to, that is truth. That he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So this is the old man we have come out of when we were learning Christ, and learning in Christ is the truth of God. And then in verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the true holiness comes from a mind which here is renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit is the life giver. You know, when the spirit is in us, we are alive. When the spirit departs from the body is dead. So there is the life of the mind, which is the spirit of the mind. That which gives life to the mind, that which makes the mind be able to function. So that spirit is renewed. That spirit is made after the knowledge and true righteousness and true holiness by the word of God. So our mind is not foreign to our service to God. It is our mind that must be cleansed, that must be conformed to the reality and to the truthfulness of the word of God. So here we see that we are renewed in the spirit of the mind. What drives the mind? What gives life to the mind? That spirit, there must be a renewal of it. To be renewed from the last of our previous state, in which we were in the old man, doing those things which are not right, but are the result of the lustfulness of the flesh, which is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We have come to the Lord. We have come to the openness of the true knowledge by which God holds us and leads us and deals with us in a way that is conducive to the reality of his being. We want to thank the Lord who has brought us into the light of his word, that we may not serve him even in the denominational darkness which has covered the world of today. But by the grace of God, our minds have been renewed, our minds have been sobered, our minds have been conformed, our minds have been shaped into that acceptable way, that we may save God in also an acceptable way in the will of God, which was in him and for us, even from before the foundation of the world. May God richly bless you and prosper you in the knowledge and in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Amen.